and then the weekend was on. It is a Manic Monday edition of Let's Talk, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and hey, it could be you. Right here, live on the radio, if you so choose to call, 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266 gets you into the big show on this Monday morning.
Look at my shirt.
He's got a Hockey Valley shirt on, ladies and gentlemen. The celebration is underway in full throttle this morning. Pretty doggone good game. We'll have details coming up in case you missed it last night in the second segment of this morning's big show. Lots to get into from an always busy weekend here. Trying to figure out which way I really want to go this morning.
This could be good. Here we go. We have two guests, by the way.
Doubling up on the guests.
Well, you know one. Our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com.
Never heard of him. Who's this fellow?
He'll be later in the next hour. Hope you enjoyed. Come on, you enjoyed the warm spell over the weekend, didn't you?
I did indeed.
Yes, you did.
It was boring, and I loved it.
I don't know about boring, but okay.
It was pretty boring weather-wise.
Later on this hour, Eric Murniak from PennDOT's going to join us for a segment. We're going to get an update on the new 322 project. What's going on? What's been happening? What's coming up? Again, there was another accident there last week, and so that kind of spurred me to reach out to Eric because we haven't had him on for a while, and he said, sure, I'll join you Monday morning. So he's going to join us around 8:45 or so to give us an update on where things stand. Things are happening, and they're going to be happening like over these next, I don't know, 3 months, I guess, thereabouts. So stay tuned for that. All right. Now, what did you want to tackle?
This is just scaring me. No. This was Saturday was the Mentored Youth Fishing Day in Pennsylvania. And
yes.
I did not realize quite how many folks would want to participate in said day, which is a wonderful thing. It's just, we ended up going out to Whipple Dam on Saturday, and the Mad Turtle, we went paddle boarding.
Okay.
And you see, when you get startled on the paddle board, what happens is you can fall into said lake. And while it was a beautiful day on Saturday, the water is a little frigid.
A little chilly. Yeah.
So we tested the water and confirmed it was very chilly.
Yes.
The Mad Turtle's version is he went into shock. He hit the water, and he went into shock. Now, he seemed to quickly recover from the shock, so I think maybe, perhaps we didn't, but no, that is what happened. He went into shock to hear him tell the story. He survived, got quickly over the shock.
Well, that's good.
And we did some fishing. We did not have much luck. Any luck ourselves, but a lot of folks out there did, and apparently they were overwhelmed, I think would be the appropriate term here. They were overwhelmed with the number of folks who purchased you can purchase a license free of charge, but you still got to fill out a bunch of paperwork because, you know, government. so you could do that. Now, yeah. I went ahead and got the license for the year because we're planning to head back out several times over the course of the spring and summer. I think the first official day of trout season is this coming Saturday.
Saturday, yes.
But it was a very good time had by all. It was interesting watching some of the different techniques, shall we say, that different individuals had, different youngsters had, when it comes to trying to lure those fish over to your rod and said hook. A lot of amusing strategies. I wanted to try the here, fishy, 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 fish. Here you go.
Can they hear and you underwater?
I think they can.
Oh.
I have a pretty loud voice, but
you're a bad singer, so they would hear.
Yes, okay. We opted against that, and we just went with the. We had some pretty good tosses, good casts from the dock there at Whipple, but yeah, good time. I think it is safe to say was had by all. And shouldn't have been, I understand. And at the end of the day, I think this is very good news, but was a little surprised, not just the number of people fishing, that was wonderful to see, the number of people who were just out and about Saturday. It's like, hey, sure. Nice day, weekend.
Let's go.
And there is something encouraging about seeing so many people wanting to be outside and enjoying the outdoors and not locked onto their phones. Now, we still saw a few folks out there, even in the great outdoors.
Yes.
We put our phones away. It's like, nope, we're just going to go out and enjoy the afternoon. And you're okay to do that. I'm not. It's just we kind of wanted to get away from it for a little bit. But a lot of people out hiking, there were youngsters, I'm guessing either maybe seniors in high school or college students over, just playing different games on the beach there at Whipple. We saw just a ton of people, hiking, walking up, driving through. The bicycles were out in force, on Saturday up through the mountains, which is also, kind of fun to see. So, we are ready for, I am speaking for all of Sutter County. We are ready
okay.
for the spring and summer weather.
Well, when we have our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com
yes.
next hour, you take the lead.
I will take the lead.
You take the lead. And we'll, if he comes back and he wants to smack you or something.
So the other thing
you put them in a headlock or something.
The other thing we did,
Fireman's Carry, whatever.
And this is going to be a many, many days long project, but we got day one and a half maybe, in under the belt, which is I have been designated an office in our house for my stuff. Everybody else gets some stuff in this room, some stuff in that room. Mom has an office, kiddo has a bedroom, we have a shared bedroom. I do have a dresser for my clothes, part of a closet for my clothes, and then pretty much everything else that's mine. So we finally, we got a couple of bookshelves from a friend of mine who was looking to get rid of them. We've been kind of looking for a while. And it's like, oh yeah, these would be really good. So rearranging the office, my room to store everything I've accumulated over the 55 years on planet Earth into this room.
Oh boy.
So I have, we're about a third of the way through the project. I'd like to think we're about halfway through, but there's a couple of things that need a clean, like they're, it looks okay now, but the drawers need to be recombed through, and readjusted. And I'm trying to figure out how to, there's a few things that I want to keep together. So I'm just trying to figure out, all right, this is the drawer for this. This is the drawer for that. We're throwing away a ton of stuff. And, of course, we have the new trash hauler and our spiffy new big garbage can, which is not as big as I was thinking it was going to be starting this week. So a lot going on at our house on this this busy week. And, of course, today in the State College Area School District, no school. I don't know if in service day of some sort, I believe, or whatever. There's no school for the kiddos, whatever it is. So kiddo is off with mom for a jam session event. Jana Marie Foundation, named after Jana Marie, who died by suicide, and her birthday is today, so they are having some events to encourage the kiddos to go out and have some fun and make those connections. So they're going to have a very good time today. And it was one of those weekends where, like, I knew it was going to go by, and it did, like that, and it's like, we just had too many things going on, and there were other things that we wanted to do. It's like, yeah, you got to pick and choose here a little bit. So, very fun weekend, very good weekend, but it did fly by. But we did all gather around and watch the hockey game last night. A lot of fun there. The kiddo, Mad Turtle, is a Padres fan. Why, you ask? No reason.
Padres?
Just because, yes.
Really?
We adopted the Padres. We do like Fernando Tatis. And that, I think, is the impetus. I think this came from a YouTube video or something where they were showing top plays in baseball. And for whatever reason, last year at some point, he got enamored with Fernando Tatis Jr. and the Padres, and so they were on the baseball night on ESPN last night, and we sat down and watched that until the eyes got very heavy. We were battling, and the eyes finally shut down somewhere there in the fourth inning, and we were very excited to learn this morning, though, that the Padres completed the sweep of the Braves with the 5-0 win, and all is right in the Mad Turtles world here on this Monday. No school. Got to see Penn State hockey, got to see the Padres, and had a lot of friend time yesterday as well. So I think overall, got to go fishing, got to go paddleboarding, got to go swimming unintentionally, and I think a good weekend.
He had a killer weekend. That's great.
Yeah,
wow.
pretty darn good time.
Very nice. Okay, all right. All right, let's see. What else do we have here? We got lots of things. We've got a busy week. All right.
We do have a busy week.
Before we took a break, let me see. What was the one I wanted? Oh, this one. Okay. I'm assuming everybody who's listening drives a vehicle. In other words, you have a car or a truck or an
SUV. Well, that's
SUV.
A dangerous assumption. Not everybody does.
Well, nearly everybody.
All right.
Unless you're a Penn State student and you take the bus.
There you go.
All right. So there's that. I think if you follow vehicles at all, you've heard of J.D. Power. J.D. Power is this group. They rate things. All right. And if you get the J.D. Power, like, seal of approval or something, that's a good thing. All right. Recently, they came out with their most dependable vehicles. All right. Now, what kind of car or vehicle do you drive? American made, Japanese, European? I mean, there's some other ones there, Korean, and so on. What is the most dependable vehicle brand? So we're going to play our favorite game, Quiz the Ironhead. What is the most dependable vehicle brand, the highest ranked for the third consecutive year?
Honda.
No.
Huh.
That's what I drive, but no.
That's what I drive, too. Okay. And they're very dependable.
Okay. It is not Honda.
All right.
Try again.
Toyota.
No, actually. Now, they're up there, okay? They're up there. Actually, let's see. Third or fourth, okay. Now I'm reading this. It says here Toyota. Now we're not doing free plugs, but we are doing a free plug.
Seems like you're doing a free plug.
Yeah, free plug. Toyota has the top overall model, in other words, type of car, in their most recent study. I've never driven one of these, the Toyota Avalon. All right, I have no idea. I think that's a car. That's not an SUV, right? That's a car. All right, I think that's a car. No, the number one, Lexus. All right, Lexus is number one on the list. Now, among the so-called premium brands, and Lexus would be a premium brand.
That would be a premium.
All right. Cadillac is second. That actually surprised me. It's like, okay, cool. Porsche is third. Now, that's a highlight. That's a premium brand. Among the, I guess you would call them regular brands. All right.
Yeah.
Buick is really high on the list. Now, I'm only surprised because whenever I see these rankings, the American-made cars are normally down some. It's like the Japanese cars are always like way high. Sometimes maybe a European thing might be kind of high. The American models are always, like in the middle, okay. Buick is highest in the regular segment. Like, wow, okay. Mazda is number two, and Toyota is number three. All right? And so here I've got these. I'm going to zoom in. Yeah, Lexus and Buick are really good. Now, the way this is called vehicle dependability.
Yeah.
So in other words, how dependable is your vehicle? And they rank this by how many problems cars have, and the lower, if you have a lower number, that's good. If you have a higher number, that's not good. That means you have, all sorts of problems.
99 problems, but the car ain't one.
There's 32 different car makers. I didn't realize there were 32 different car makers. Wow, that's a lot of cars. And this does, there are Chinese cars. Now, we don't sell them here. But they're not on the list. This is like everybody else, okay? No offense, the one at the bottom of the list is Volkswagen. Apparently, Volkswagen...
No offense.
No offense. Chrysler is very close to Volkswagen. And Jeep. I like Jeeps. I really do.
Yeah.
I've never owned one. But for whatever reason, and I see this almost every year, Jeeps have all kinds of issues. Now, I'm not trying, if you drive a Jeep, I'm not trying to insult you.
Seems like you are.
No, I'm not. But I've seen that for a long time. Now, the question is, when we say problems, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean
when
you
say
problems?
Now, I drive a 2008 Battle Wagon out there in the parking lot.
Oh, the old Battle Wagon.
All right, it's a Battle Wagon with, 427,000 miles on it. For me, dependability is I want to get in a vehicle and I want it to go. Just keep going. And so far, 427,000 miles, my car just keeps going. These days, it's not about that, is it? Apparently, one of the major problems that they keep trying to figure out is software problems. Why? Because our vehicles, right? Anymore, or just like rolling entertainment things.
They're computers.
Rolling computer, right?
Yep.
You got a big screen, boop, 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 and you punch things and so on. And so problems related to software issues is like top of the list for problems. What's this? Personal device integration. Oh, boy, that sounds like fun. Where I guess you connect your smartphone to your vehicle, and is it working properly? They're having all kinds of problems with that.
Uh-huh.
Electric vehicles, of course, are now sort of in the mix. Now, there's straight electric vehicles, and there's plug-in hybrid vehicles. Says here, for whatever reason, straight-up battery-powered cars are getting better. All right, that's good. Meanwhile, plug-in hybrids are, for whatever reason, they're getting worse. So if you have a plug-in hybrid, Are you having problems out there? All right. It's not just about driving anymore. It's about all the gadgets and gizmos and, hey, how many cup holders do I have? You know, all that stuff. Folks, I'm sorry. I don't care. I'm going to get in my car. I don't care if it's beat up, which mine is. I just want to drive. That works for me. Now, some of you folks, you get into the fancy schmancy stuff. Not my gig.
I just want my car to fly. That's all I
You want a flying car.
That is correct.
Well, they're working on that.
I know that they are.
Now, the problem is, if you have a flying car, we're going to fly it.
Well, anywhere I want.
Well, you think the FAA is going to allow you to do that? Oh, don't say a word.
We don't tell them.
Here comes Ironhead driving into State College Airport. All right, let's take that break. All right. Yeah, I could see the Ironhead's car flying into State College Airport. Wouldn't that be hilarious? And then it takes down, and then the wings, I don't know.
Oh, that would be
flip
awesome.
In.
I want one of those flying cars that then can also act as a submarine. You can submerge.
Submarine.
The water. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I want to be able to go anywhere, anytime, baby.
Wow. So in the air, on the road, underwater.
That's right.
All right. If that's your car, you got a buyer right here.
Right here.
Let's take a break. We will come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Light Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Light Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Light Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
It is late. Let's talk here on a Monday morning coming off a busy little weekend, certainly in the world of sports, that was the case, and we start the only place we can start locally. Man, was that fun. For the first time in program history, the Penn State hockey team is headed to the Frozen Four. Penn State knocked off Maine on Friday night in the opening round 5-1. That was fun. Penn State giving up the opening goal and then reeling off five straight to advance to the regional finals, where the Nittany Lions won a thriller in Allentown last night over UConn. Matt DeMarsico scored the game winner off of a nifty behind-the-back assist from Charlie Serrato at 17:56 of the extra period, and Penn State is headed to St. Louis with the 3-2 victory. UConn had a 1-0 and a 2-1 lead in the game, but Penn State answered each time with equalizers. Dane Dowiak scored Penn State's first goal. J.J. Weebush scored the second goal. Arseny Sergeyev, though, was the hero last night. He started his career at UConn before transferring to Penn State, and he was spectacular in goal last night. He saved the season multiple times in the third period and overtime before Penn State was able to pull out the victory. Sergeyev made 42 saves against his former team to pick up his 19th win of the season, and so Penn State is headed to the Frozen Four with the national semifinals in St. Louis set for Thursday, April 10th. Not this coming Thursday, a week from Thursday. The first game will be at 5 o'clock on that Thursday, and that will have Western Michigan going up against Denver. Then Penn State will take on Boston University at 8:30. The winner of those semifinal games will then play for the national championship on Saturday, April 12th at 7:30. Man, was that fun.
Oh, what a game.
I will say this.
What a game.
So I love overtime hockey when I don't have a vested interest. It is fun. It is thrilling. It is great. When you have a vested interest, I don't like it.
It's a gut-wrencher.
Oh, yeah. My golly, it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Just
oh,
nonstop.
Oh.
Like, you know, each and every shot could either be your team advancing or the end of your team's season. It is, oh, man, it just, it is not good for the heart. It is not good for the overall well-being of the body. And I'm telling you, there were five or six times there in that overtime. I'm like, oh, crap. There goes the wait, he made another save. Sergeyev, I'm telling you, what he did in that game was truly sensational. And, yes, Penn State then gets the game winner. Just fantastic stuff. Just fantastic.
Well, Matt DeMarsico is going to obviously gets credit for the goal, which was a great
yep.
shot. But Charlie Serrato,
oh my gosh,
who, if I'm correct, he's a freshman. Is he a freshman? I think he's just a freshman. Now, if you missed this last night, just go online and search for Penn State men's hockey,
yep.
and you'll see the clip.
That is,
winning sequence, Serrato kind of pauses, and it freezes the Connecticut guy who was on him.
Yeah.
He blows right by him. Everybody's like, whoops. And then he does this sweet little behind-the-back pass to DeMarsico, who takes just a moment to tee it up, score. Allentown goes berserk. And I'm jumping. I jumped out of my seat. I'm like, yes! You know, and I think I scared pets.
I mean, can understand.
It's like, but you look back at that, Serrato's play, actually two plays. First, he deeks out his guy, and then he does the behind-the-back pass.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And DeMarsico got it started with a great play to get the puck. Like, DeMarsico played a fantastic game throughout. Like, he was... even before the game winner, which obviously makes him the hero of the game along with Sergeyev, but even before that, like if you had to pick the player that was kind of leading the charge for Penn State throughout that game, it was DeMarco. He was just playing at a very high pace and a high level throughout. It was a great game, and it was one of those. I mean, it's cliche and all of that. It really was a shame that either of those teams had to lose. Penn State deserved better in the first period. I mean, they outplayed UConn significantly in that first period, but it was 1-1. UConn, I thought, very slightly outplayed Penn State in the second period. It was 2-2 after that period. UConn dominated play in the third period and throughout much of overtime, but Sergeyev was sensational, spectacular. He just was on point to a degree. And it was one of those things we were talking as we're watching the game. Well, I'm kind of talking to myself because my wife and kiddo are. But I'm like, the one thing here is that Sergeyev now is really into this game. Like, he is seeing these shots and he's getting peppered. Tung, while he was peppered in the first period, did not have as many challenges in the third period and overtime. And sometimes that can be tricky for a goaltender then when you see, now the shot that was the game winner was just, the setup with that behind the back pass was truly just a thing of beauty. And then, I don't know, there wasn't much he could do. But sometimes when you get a goaltender that is not seen a lot, it's harder than to, man, be on point and ready to go. But really, neither of those teams deserve to lose. They both played great games. UConn, I know, is going home. Their coach has to be beside himself because they played the better game in that third period in overtime. I mean, they were the better team. They had gazillions of chances, it felt like. I mean, at least 10, like, really good scoring opportunities between the third period and overtime. And Sergeyev just would not give up a goal. He just was incredible.
Stonewall.
And we talk about it all the time. A hot goaltender is can be the difference maker when it comes to postseason hockey. I did watch a little bit of Boston U's last two games, and they are, obviously, you get to this stage of the season, all four of these teams are playing really good hockey. Boston is, that's a special team. But this Penn State squad, I mean, they are on the brink of, they've already made history for Penn State. Getting to the Frozen Four is a huge kind of next hurdle here for the program that has been accomplished. So, to some degree, anything from here on out is just gravy. But obviously, you're two wins away from winning the national title. Just go ahead and win the doggone championship. I'd make all kinds of history in the process. But what this Penn State team has the chance to do, they started, just so we're clear, 1-9. They won one game in their first 10 Big Ten contests this season. 1-9, and they are now two wins away from a national championship,
Incredible.
The ultimate goal
Incredible.
In college hockey. It is Guy Gadowski and this team, obviously, deserve all kinds of credit for sticking with everything, believing in itself and all of that. And when it came together, man, did it come together for Penn State. But I genuinely do feel badly for UConn because that team played its heart out. That is a really good team. UConn has never been to the final Frozen Four either. And they were trying to become, I think, the second team to ever get to the Frozen Four in their first NCAA tournament appearance, which would be quite
amazing.
Feather in the cap for that team. I think RIT in 2010, if I'm remembering right, from the broadcast last night, was the only team, remains, I guess, the only team to advance to the Frozen Four in its first NCAA tournament appearance. But hats off to UConn on a great season, a great effort last night. But Sergeyev and company up to the challenge, and Penn State, again, into the Frozen Four. Very special stuff in St. Louis coming up in, a week from Thursday.
Next week.
Yep, a week from Thursday. Penn State women's lacrosse also earning a 13-12 overtime upset win at 10th-ranked Michigan yesterday. Erica Ho scored the game winner a minute 30 into the extra period. Ho finished with 6 points on 5 goals and an assist. Brooke Haas also had 3 goals and an assist, and Sydney Manning made 11 saves in net for Penn State. The Nittany Lions now 4-7 overall. And they've won 2 straight to even the Big Ten record at 2-2. Penn State baseball, couple of heartbreakers on Saturday and Sunday. Penn State losing in Ann Arbor to Michigan yesterday 6-5. It was a 5-5 game before the Wolverines got an RBI double in the 7th to pull out the win. Second straight one-run victory for Michigan, which had lost the opener in the series to Penn State. The Nittany Lions are now 17-10 overall, 6-6 in conference play. And Penn State got a couple of hits from Jack Porter, who also had a couple of RBI. Ryan Weingartner had 2 hits and scored twice, and Cole Wagner had an RBI triple. Those 3 leading the offensive attack. Again, Michigan takes the series, coming back to win the final 2 games after Penn State took the opener. Again, Penn State now 17-10 overall, 6-6 in the Big Ten. The good news is Penn State is back in action tomorrow at 5:30 against Bucknell at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be a dollar dog night at the ballpark. Get those dollars ready.
Hallelujah.
The Penn State softball team lost a pair of games Saturday in Atlanta, falling to 17th-ranked Oklahoma State 10-2 and Georgia Tech 10-0. Penn State now 14-18 on the season. Brooke Klosowicz did extend her streak of reaching base safely to a nation-leading 31 games, and she also leads the country in doubles. She belted her 16th of the season against Georgia Tech. Penn State will host Bucknell tomorrow evening as well at 6 o'clock. On Friday, the Bald Eagle area baseball team lost to Mount Union 10-3, and the Phillipsburg Osceola softball team fell to DuBois 9-5. On Saturday, the Penns Valley baseball team dropped a 15-9 decision to Homer Center. The Rams are 0-6 and will host Mount Union today at 4:30. Penns Valley softball also home against Mount Union at 4:30 this afternoon. 7th-ranked Penn State men's lacrosse losing to 2nd-ranked Maryland 13-8. At College Park on Saturday. Second straight top 10 matchup for the Nittany Lions. Penn State battled back from an early deficit, but falls to 6-3 overall, now 0-2 in the Big Ten. Maryland improves to 8-1 on the season. Matt Traynor led the offense with a couple of goals and an assist. The Nittany Lions again still looking for their first Big Ten victory. Penn State men's volleyball seeing a 22-match home win streak come to an end. Nittany Lions losing to Charleston in EIVA action on Saturday at Rec Hall, 3-1. Penn State falls to 6-14 on the season, now 3-3 in EIVA action. Will Coons had a big match for Penn State. He hit 378 with 21 kills, 2 blocks, and a service ace. Penn State track and field competing in a split squad action over the weekend at the LSU Battle on the Bayou. Penn State freshman Johnny Dwyer took 6th in the men's 100 with a time of 10.27 seconds. He finished 4th in the 200 with a time of 20.55 seconds. His 100 time was the 2nd best in Penn State history. Oliver DeMel was 3rd in the men's 800 with a 148.14 mark. Penn State's Alan Clay was 4th fourth in that event. Matt DiMatteo was third in the men's 400 hurdles. Colin Burkhart was fifth in the hammer throw, with teammate Nathan Williams seventh. In the women's 1500, Penn State's Kylie Kane was second, and teammate Maddie Ollum was third. Kane's time was 4:13.74. Allison Johnson was seventh, and Ada Rand was 10th in that event, giving Penn State four top 10 finishes in the women's 1500. Also, Penn State's Tyessa Buchanan was sixth in the women's 800 on Saturday. Gabby DeGlau was fourth in the women's hammer throw. Victoria Atkinson, seventh in the women's pole vault. And Audrey Friedman took sixth in the women's javelin. Penn State men's tennis falling to 32nd-ranked Michigan State 4-3 on Saturday. Lauren Byers, my long-lost brother, defeated the fifth-ranked player in the country.
Cool.
It's just what the Byers do. We knock off highly-ranked opponents. Yeah. Ozan Barras goes down in the top singles match. Penn State women's golf finishing 13th out of 15 teams at the Clemson Invitational over the weekend. Penn State junior defender Kalen Wolf becoming the Nittany Lions' sixth selection to a U.S. Women's Soccer Youth National Team Camp this spring. She garnered a selection to the under-20 teams camp in Kansas City. That announcement coming on Friday. Pittsburgh Pirates losing to the Marlins on a wild pitch in the bottom of the ninth. Thank you, David Bednar. Pittsburgh losing three of its four games to start the season in Miami. All three losses coming in walk-off fashion. You may be saying to yourself, Ironhead, boy, that has to be unusual. Three losses in walk-off fashion to start the season. Yep, first time that's happened in 100 years. Last team to do that, the 1924 Pittsburgh Pirates.
I'm sorry.
Pirates are 1-3 on the season. It wasn't just the bullpen. You know, some poor base running, some sloppy fielding also contributing to the 1-3 start for the Bucs, which will open a series at Tampa tonight, 7:05 first pitch, airtime at 6:35 here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Phillies unable to sweep the Nationals as Washington took the series finale yesterday 5-1. Philadelphia will play the Rockies in its home opener today at 3:05. Tristan Jarry faced 31 shots and made 31 saves. Some fellow by the name of Sidney Crosby scored the only goal of the game on a power play, a minute 15 into overtime, and the Penguins beat the Senators 1-0 last night. The win was the first in seven games for Pittsburgh, which is now 34-11 on the season. The Penguins will visit the Blues on Thursday. On Saturday, the Flyers scored three third-period goals and beat the Sabres 7-4. Philadelphia's 36-9 on the season. The Flyers return to the ice tonight, hosting the Predators at 7:00. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that'll is a little it. Something we like to call sports now, here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
My Orioles split. They went 2-2 in Toronto. Everybody's talking about the Yankees.
Oh, my gosh.
And their bats. Now, well, maybe we'll talk about this later on. Yankees hit 15 home runs in three games.
Nine in three pitches on Saturday.
Yeah.
Three in three pitches.
The first three guys. Bang, bang, bang.
Good heavens.
So if you're a Yankees fan, you're happy, right?
Yeah.
We will come right back. Ugh.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming seasons. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. A little open phone time coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. And Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, will talk to us all things weather and probably some wrestling and probably some other stuff. You just you never know exactly what we're going to get into. But, you know, the primary purpose of Joe's visit here in the final segment of this morning's show is supposed to be weather. But you just never know.
It meanders. And that's perfectly fine.
That is
us.
Perfectly fine.
All right, let's take a segment. We wanted to get an update on the route. I just call it the Route 322 project, or I call it the new road from Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills, because we haven't had an update recently. And, of course, if you follow news, you know, last week, you know, about a week ago or so, there was another accident. And that kind of spurred me to reach out to say, hey, we haven't had an update on this lately. So let's welcome back to our show Eric Merniak from PennDOT, the Clearfield office. Eric, first off, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Let's start with just a general question. Where right now, sort of, where are things when it comes to the planning for this new road, Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills? What, like, maybe over the last couple of months, several months, what's been happening? What's going on?
We've been working on the draft EIS segment of the project, and that's basically the NEPA. So that portion allows us to get into to get our environmental permit. It takes about 2 years. And we're in the draft phase of that now, getting ready for a public meeting here coming up in May.
All right. Do you have any further details, like a date or a place or anything for that meeting?
No, we don't have all those details hashed out yet, but we should have them here shortly.
Okay. Now, the last time I checked, I mean, at one point there was a lot of proposals or a lot of routes. We're down to three. Has anything changed? I wouldn't think so, but has anything changed with those three? Is it the same three that people have seen like months ago?
There will be some refinements to those three alternatives based on comments and some environmental things from the last public meeting. But one of the things that we plan on doing at this next public meeting is showing everybody the recommended preferred alternative. We still have to carry three, but we're going to tell everybody what we think is going to be built.
So you think at this meeting you're going to pretty much divulge this is the one we're thinking about?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right. And there's specific language that we have to use based on guidelines from multiple regulatory agencies. So we just have to be careful how we say it, and that language we're working through right now.
Now, as best you can, now, God, we're on the radio here. The three routes are roughly really close to each other, and they're relatively close to the existing road. I mean, can you sort of describe these three routes?
Yeah, so all three of them are similar, well, almost exactly the same on the east side and the west side, because they're tying into the same point. It's just really the middle that changes You know, and that's one of the reasons why we changed it to North Central and South Alternative, because in the middle of the project, one's north of, I'll say where like the Harley shop is, and one's in the central part of that, and one is south of it.
Give us the primary differences between the three routes is what? Does one or two of them affect currently existing property more than others, environment more than others, or are they pretty similar in terms of the impact in those regards or other considerations as well?
Well, and that's part of the hardest part about balancing all the resources on the project. So when you look at the three different ones, obviously the southern one goes up on the mountain, so there's going to be more forested impacts. And obviously the northern one, it goes through more farms. So it's really balancing all those impacts. And then the central one hits a little bit of everything. So it's tough to make the right call on all these alternatives without doing all your due diligence, and that's part of the reason why these types of projects take so long.
All right, Eric, the obvious question here at some point, how do you pick the winner? I mean, this isn't a vote or something. How does the winner eventually get chosen?
Well, again, it's by balancing all the impacts and figuring out which one makes the most sense based on the resources. And the hard part about it is every resource, depending on which agency you work for, one resource is more important than the other. It just depends on who you work for. So yeah, getting everybody on the regulatory side to agree what makes the most sense. And so it's really not a vote. It's a, hey, if we do this, can we get a permit? Because in the end, if we get to the record of decision next year and we can't get a permit, then we start over.
Okay, now explain that, Eric. You have to get a permit from whom? Who handles that?
Well, the permit really is from the federal side. It's the NEPA permit. But every agency that has anything to do with any environmental has a say in that, because they all have their specific areas that they look at.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of bureaucracy, Eric. And given all the news out of Washington in recent times, they can't seem to get their act together on a lot of things. That sounds like this is not going to be a fast process, yes?
No, the 2-year time frame is driven by the federal government, so that they're the ones that limited it to 2 years. So one of the things that we talked about in the draft EIS phase right now is we have 2 years to get this done. So next July we're going to be finalizing the EIS and putting in for our record of decision. So it should happen next year, because again, they're the driver.
Okay, now you say this is July of 2026, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
yep.
Not this July. All right. Because I think, again, God forbid, there was that accident last week, and we're all thinking, oh, man, there's another one. You know, it's just like, I know, but I know that there's time involved here.
I just want to be clear, too. We're not talking about July of 2026 being when the project is completed. talking about the project will be prepared to move forward, right?
Yeah, the project will go from preliminary engineering to final design, and final design is where you're allowed to do the right-of-way acquisition, and you're allowed to do utility relocations and start working on getting everything ready for a project.
Now, Eric, I think the last time we had you on, which was months ago, this is Scott, I've got some friends that own land in this stretch of ground, and whatever the final decision happens to be, I'm thinking the next day there's going to be a court challenge of some kind. Someone's going to sue I assume you folks are ready for that or expecting that or maybe not. I'm thinking that's almost inevitable.
Well, yeah, and I think everybody expects that in these types of projects, and that's part of the reason why they take so long, is because you have to make sure that you're checking all the boxes. You don't want to miss a step, and you don't want to miss an important part that's going to come back later and stall your project.
Yeah. Well, let's back up again. Once this eventually gets going, you know, earth movers are out there and they're starting to work, how long is this going to take?
We didn't even get to the point where we're looking at the duration of the construction schedule, but I'm assuming it's probably going to be a good 4 or 5 year project. I mean, the high speed interchange is 5 years right now. It's not going to end until 2030.
Okay. Once again, all three of these routes are roughly around where the current road is, okay? So once work eventually begins, will this affect the current road? In other words, at some point in the future, should we expect detours, or should we expect, you know, you're going to have to, you know, go through 45 to Old Fort or something like that? Or will somehow the existing road somehow be left alone while this work is happening kind of around it?
Yeah, we're going to have to work around it. There's too much traffic to do a long-term detour on the 45. I'm sure there'll be times where we have to do short-term detours. If, like, if you're setting the beams over a road, you don't want traffic under it.
Yeah.
So there will be some operations, but there won't be a long-term detour because, again, there's just too much traffic to move elsewhere.
How much is this expected project supposed to be?
I think last time, at the last public meeting, we said around $700 million-ish.
Okay, that sounds like Beaver Stadium is $700 million. That's a popular number these days, $700 million, okay. Is there any issue, I mean, is the money put away, or is there any issues with the funding for this project? And again, I'm only thinking about the craziness in Washington right now, budget cutting, boom, boom, boom. Or is it all good to go, or could something happen at some point down the line to, I don't know, cause a slowdown?
Currently, we don't have any federal funding in the project. It's all being funded with state funds. So at this point in time, we have the funds to get through the rest of preliminary engineering. We're working on setting up final design funding, and then we'll start programming construction costs. But at this point in time, we're not anticipating federal funds. Although we'd like federal funds, we're not progressing the project assuming that we have federal funds.
Eric, I guess I'm surprised because this is U.S. Route 322. So I figured that somehow Washington's kicking in some kind of money. They're not kicking in anything?
Not yet. Again, we'll certainly look at getting some money from the feds, but at this point in time, it's 100% state.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier there's going to be a public meeting sometime in May. Now
I will say early May. Sorry not to cut you off.
Early May. So maybe in like 4 or 5 weeks. Well, not 4 weeks. We're not in April yet. Now, I went to the one at Mount Nittany Middle School where there was all these diagrams and experts and people talking. Is that what this public meeting, is it going to be like that, or is this going to be some kind of a sit-down meeting?
No, it's going to be similar to the last meeting. We're going to go out and we're going to just show everyone the refined alternatives. We're going to show everyone what our recommended preferred alternative is and then what we've done since the last public meeting.
Is there any chance this could change? And I only say that because I remember after that meeting, some people were saying, hey, what about doing a route this way, you know, like up on the hillside and stuff like that. Is these last three, these are the three. There isn't any possibility of some other route kind of popping out of nowhere.
Not at this time.
Okay. Because I remember, what was it called, the Route 45 connector, which was supposed to come off one of these roads and go to 45, that sort of popped out of nowhere. Now, I believe, Eric, that's totally gone, right? That connector idea is gone.
Yep, we removed the connector from the project, and we actually started a study on 45 to see what we can do on that road specifically.
Such as what?
Safety improvements. Basically do a bunch of traffic counts, look at the roadway geometry and see if there's anything we can improve on 45.
Okay. Because I'll be honest, Eric, this is Scott again. When I saw that connector idea, I'm like, what the heck is that? If somebody wants to get on 45, they drive to Bowlesburg, you turn right, you get on 45. I didn't understand the thinking behind the connector, and it just sort of popped out of nowhere, like, here it is.
Well, you were almost right. Down to Bowlesburg and turn left onto 45.
Well, if
you got that
if you're
up.
Coming from the other direction, smart guy, all right, whatever. That's why I asked the question. Is there a possibility that some new something could pop out of nowhere as you guys continue your work?
No, not like that. That off there. There was a lot of contention around that 45 connector and the midpoint interchange, so we removed it from the project last spring, and it's not going to come back on.
Okay, all right. All right, well, then we will wait for this public meeting in early May, I expect the attendance will be quite high at that particular event.
I suspect you're right.
All right. So, Eric, we appreciate your time this morning, and thank you very much.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much. Appreciate the update.
So, again, we just wanted to get an update because, again, last week, and we're all thinking it, so we wanted to get an update. So, again, this is, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks. As soon as we get some details, obviously we'll pass them along, and then we'll see what happens with the project at that point. So, Eric, again, thank you very much. Let's take a break right here.
Let's do it.
All right, we got some open line time. Oh, are you kidding? Plenty to talk about from a busy weekend. Newsy. I got one sports item which is just, it's connected with Penn State hockey, but it isn't connected with Penn State hockey. Something I saw yesterday, I'm like, are you kidding? Really? Seriously? So stay tuned for that. And your phone calls, of course, and Joe Bastardi and boring weather. Well, he says it's boring.
I like it.
Let's take a break. We'll come right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox in College. Get up and get going.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
All right, again, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, talking boring weather, according to him, coming up later this hour. Okay, boring weather. Actually, now, granted, we're on the radio again. This is one where I need to be on television. Take a look at that right there.
Well, there's a silo and a telephone pole and a tree all in one picture. And the double rainbow, is that what you're trying to show?
I was going to say.
There's a double rainbow.
Left my house, I live in Penns Valley, when I left my house this morning, about a little after 7 a.m., I opened the garage door, and that is staring me in the face.
That's a pretty spectacular image.
It's a double rainbow. The conditions are just right. It started raining right after that, but there was actually a little sunshine. The actual bright part of the rainbow got really intense. I mean, like super bright.
That comes through in the photo.
And then you see the double rainbow there on the other side. And I'm just thinking, wow. And I could see the whole rainbow, the whole bow. Okay. We'll take the call here in just a second. Hold on. I could see the whole bow. And of course, as I'm starting to drive, it's getting brighter and brighter.
Huh.
And of course, you have that idea. Where does it come down? That's where the pot of gold is.
Let's go get our gold.
The more I drove west, it kept moving. Because, of course, it doesn't come down to the ground.
Oh, come on.
But anyway, let's take our call.
All right. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
One thing is certain. If Eric loses his job at PennDOT, he can be a spokesperson for just pick the politician.
Okay. Now, whoa. Why do you say that?
Well, he didn't have an answer for anything, but he had an answer for everything. And I understand the process is ongoing, but this is going to be like this till long after I'm dead if I live another 20 years.
Well, I mean, we appreciate Mr. Murniak joining us, and he's not the decision maker.
Well, that's the thing. My takeaway is that they do know.
They've got
almost
a good
certainly
okay.
Now what they're doing, and it's going to be they can't come out and say that, and I understand that in the process, but I think they are about 95% to 99% certain right now as to the option that they're going to go with, and no matter what they do. This is one of those that's tough because you're going to tick off somebody or somebodies. And this is one of those where I don't know anybody that says, no, we don't need – why are we changing anything here? Everybody agrees, or the overwhelming majority. I haven't talked to anybody that's like, oh, no, we don't need to do anything with 322. It's perfectly fine the way it is. I mean, everybody agrees, no, we've got to – widen and get that to a better setup, but then, as always, the devil is in the details. And well, yeah, I want it changed, but not where it impacts me. And I get that. I'm not even don't misunderstand here. I'm not faulting the people who are like, hey, I don't want to give up my property here for this. I get it, and I get the people that, well, yeah, we don't want to go through and take out more of the forest. I get all of it, but again, something has to be done, and it has already been I think in just about everybody's opinion, and including Eric's, it's like it's too long. Like it's already been too long. Like at some point here, you just got to make the decision, bite the bullet, understand that some people are going to be impacted negatively, and it stinks. And this is the way it's got to be, and move forward with this thing. Because you're right. Even I'd say best case scenario, and I mean. Best case scenario, and these things never play out with best case scenario, is this thing would be finished up in about 2033. Yeah. I think 2035 is probably the more likely.
Really?
Yes. End time frame here.
I was proud to be involved in I was on the building trades advisory board to the high school during the episodes of, you know, what do we do with the high school? How do we expand this? What do we do there? We're going to rebuild this. We change the football field, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I had a very minor position to have some input on our, you know, to give everybody, this is the plan. What's your dream of what do you want for your space, et cetera? And I distinctly remember sitting down at one of the early meetings when we project that this is going to be somewhere around $55 to $61 million. And $156 million later,
yep.
We got something that was nowhere near what originally was proposed and so on. But my best guess is I'm almost 74, so let's say I almost maybe I live long enough to see this come to fruition. But my best guess is a fair. Just I know he just kind of put his thumb on the scale and said, okay, we're looking at somewhere in a ballpark of $700 million. You can pretty much count it's going to be about $2.1 billion before it's done.
Ooh.
Well, and you can mark that. You can mark that down, and you can have a party for me when I'm correct. I've been there, done that, buddy. I've been in building my entire life, and nothing ever comes in on budget.
Hold on, I always keep this list handy. Another excuse to party. All right, I'm adding it to the list.
Write that down.
Always ready for reasons to party. I like it.
Okay, now I just need to know who's wrestling 141 next year, and I'm done for the day.
Not me. We have confirmed it will not be
your eligibility is used up. Yeah.
It's not eligibility, it's weight. Is that correct?
It may be a combination of the two. A combination. Listen, if you're, who knows how this is going to play out? If you're asking, my best guess right now, I think it'd be Marcus Blaze. But there's... Okay. That's one of about four or five possibilities, and we'll just see how it all plays out.
So what about the Japanese?
Appreciate the
thanks for your call.
I think he'll go at 33.
The Japanese guy is going to go at 33. Oh, no.
Again, this is purely guessing on my part.
Not your call.
We'll see how it all plays out. I do think all of this stuff will largely sort itself out. But they're going to have, I mean, they've got some battles coming up. And really good battles for starting jobs. Again, they do have some flexibility in some of the weights, including that 133-141 neighborhood because of redshirt possibilities there. 125 could factor in there if Ono decided he wants to drop down to 125. Luke Lilladol has a red shirt available. Obviously, Braden Davis has a red shirt available. We'll see. It is going to be fun for fans, I think, to speculate. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And, you know, the other thing that you never know, and obviously you're not wishing for anything, but injuries are part of wrestling. And you know, I think one of the changing dynamics here with these top-tier teams, and top-tier right now is pretty much three, Oklahoma State, Iowa, and Penn State. One of the things that is changing with the scholarship additions, the opportunities for scholarship additions, is you can now go two or even in some way classes three deep with scholarship athletes. And build up that depth in a way that you just weren't previously able to. Now, Penn State has done a really good job of it, even when you weren't able to use my words. But, again, up and down the lineup now, I think a lot of these teams will have very highly heralded high school wrestlers, meaning coming out of high school, they have all kinds of accolades and accreditations on the roster. And when you have the 9.9 scholarships, not impossible, but very difficult to do. But I think there's kind of a changing dynamic here, in college wrestling and really across college sports. And it'll be, It'll be interesting to see how all of this kind of shakes out over the coming years with the transfer portal, and but also, you know, into another Olympic cycle here heading toward 2028. A lot of different things that are coming into play in terms of student athletes and what their objectives are, and what they're looking at, and how they're seeing the big picture stuff. So, yeah, I'm just along for the ride. It's going to be fun to watch and fun to see how it plays out.
Changing dynamic with college sports. That's an understatement.
You think?
The whole St. Francis situation. I noticed that Rob Krimmel, who's from here, okay.
State high.
Did I read this right? He's retiring?
Yeah.
He's not even 50. And he's retiring, or he's just going to go find another place? Right? And if you're not familiar, St. Francis, again, men's basketball, made the NCAA tournament. It was a play-in game, but they made it, which is great for them. That's only the second time it's ever happened to them. And unfortunately, they lost in a heartbreaker on the last second shot in their game. And then days later, they announced, nope, we're Division III now. Well, actually, not now. It's going to be Division III, not next season, but the year after, right?
Correct.
26-27, but Coach Krimmel is retiring. A bunch of guys are probably like, I'm out of here. I'm not interested in Division III. So I can only imagine what St. Francis sports are going to be like next year. It's going to be a total mess for those guys. It's going to be a total
very
mess.
Very different, for sure.
It's just weird. So the transfer portal, again, my head is spinning. I can't keep track. I think Lady Lion basketball, 8 players have gone into the portal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, this ain't the old days. Holy, it's like a scorecard couldn't keep up with all this. Nuts. All right, we're going to take a break. We have another open line segment. Yeah, we'll get into some newsy stuff when Let's Talk returns coming up in a bit.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment.
just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
The Fox! Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox!
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266.
I'm not sure to be excited or despairing. I'm torn.
Oh?
Okay. Now, first off, this is actually weird. Okay. If you, I wish I was in Allentown. Oh, that would, oh, what, the atmosphere yesterday must have been electric. I mean, just off the charts.
I'm at home.
I'm watching on TV.
Yep. Now,
this happened. I can't be the only one. This happened to other people. All right. If you tuned in, this was on ESPN2 yesterday.
The Deuce.
At 4:30.
Oh, yeah.
Except it wasn't.
No. ESPN News.
All right. Well, there was a women's softball game.
Yeah.
SEC softball game that went long.
Yeah.
So you get the little message in the corner, okay, the hockey game is on ESPN News. Like, okay, whatever. So I've got that. So I punch over to that, or I'm getting ready to punch over to that. So I get there, and the hockey isn't on yet, okay, but it's the, and I can't believe there is an adult kickball league.
Oh, yes. You got that right.
So I catch the end of the adult kickball league game. I'm thinking, they really have this? Yes, they really have this. Now, I'm assuming the players get paid for playing kickball.
There's a professional wiffle ball league that we stumbled across over the weekend as well that was on one of the ESPN
it's like, really?
Networks.
The adult kickball league.
It is amazing what all is out there. It really is.
Adult kickball league. And the one guy bunts. Essentially, it's a bunt. I'm thinking, oh, for goodness sake.
There is a pillow fight.
A what? League.
We also stumbled across that. A pillow fight.
Pillow fight.
And apparently, there are, I don't know if it's a lot, but there's at least some former UFC fighters. This isn't like, when I think pillow fight, I think of the movies and the teenage girls, the teeny boppers, and they're, you know, jumping up and down on the bed, and that is not what this is. This is, we watched about 5 minutes, I'm like, all right, I get it. But it is, they are swinging this pillow. They're trying to knock each other out with this pillow, but it's like it's wild. But they're swinging like back and forth. You're trying to get head blows. It's bizarre. But yeah, there is a lot out there that I was not fully aware of that we've kind of stumbled across looking for different things, with our, sports fandom. It's like, oh, wait, you know, I know this is on somewhere, this game or that game, and then we're rolling through. It's like, wait, pillow fight championship?
Pillow fighting.
Wait, kickball championship? Wait, you know, and again, you name it, it is out there and probably being televised somewhere, these days. That's just, we are a sports crazed society.
Well, ESPN News needs more stuff to air, so anyway.
This is a genuine question, because I've been thinking about this, because I have some friends that are posting different things on They're calling various politicians and letting them know they're fed up with the chaos and they want their politician to resist Trump and fight harder and this and that. No problem with any of that. But there's a story, I think this was originally a Post-Gazette story. Yes. Tribune News Service. And I stumbled across it at Penn Live, but it's, again, originally a Tribune News Service, and written by a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette writer. And the essence of the story, I don't need to go into the details, but it was constituents are trying to call the offices of Dave McCormick and John Fetterman, and in many cases they're not getting through to a human being. They're having to leave messages, and in others they do get through. And I've seen other similar stories where, a lot of good that did. I talked to some staffer and let them know, and they said they appreciated the call. Yeah, I'm sure they did. Both sides of the aisle, like, what is it you're expecting is going to happen? Like, are you expecting that your representative is just going to sit there and talk with you for a half hour and listen to all of your grievances and then act accordingly based on one constituent's complaints? Well, no, it's not just one ironhead. It's like tens of us. Okay. Again, they're representing. And this is always kind of a fine line too. Like, yes, they are voted in and they are, I'm using air quotes here, representing all of us. Well, they're not representing all of our viewpoints. We all have, like, you'd go crazy. Like, none of your votes would be consistent or make any sense if, well, let me poll all of my constituents and see what the majority, well, by one, they feel this way on this issue, but by 20, they feel this way on that issue. Well, no, you're going in there, right? We want people that vote their conscience. Like, now, where you do get into some trouble is somebody runs on, hey, I'm this kind of a candidate, and this is what I'll fight for, and then they get there, and that's not what they're doing. they're voting for stuff that they told you they wouldn't vote for, and they're advocating things that they told you that they would be against. Yep, that's problematic. I'm with you. But I just genuinely wonder, as I'm reading through different comments and different stories on, man, these people aren't responsive. What exactly does that mean? What is responsive to you? Because they do have fairly busy schedules. They are getting out and about, doing different things, meeting with different constituents. And yeah, again, should they take phone calls and emails? Sure. And I guess as much as they can, should they respond? Somebody from the office respond? Sure. But at the end of the day, I don't want, well, yep, I've got to vote against anything Trump says because I got 20 calls at the office today and 19 of them said we should fight Trump harder. So that's what I'm going to do now today. Would we agree that that's not what we want? Or is that what we want? Nope, by God, you got a bunch of calls today. You better do what those callers are telling you to do. I'm not exactly sure what we're thinking is going to happen or what we think should happen. And this is either way. I mean, when Democrats are running things, Republicans are calling, I'm assuming at a greater rate than Democrats. Again, like most people, I don't generally call up the Penn State parking office to tell them when I've had a wonderful experience. Hey, everything went smoothly tonight. Like, that's not usually when you're getting the phone calls.
No.
We had a family business for years. Every now and then, yes, you would get somebody to call saying, I just want to let you know, man, your driver was phenomenal, beyond helpful, and man, you love those calls. But most of the time, the calls you were getting, hey, your guy was late.
He said he'd be there at 5, and it was 5:03. And my flight, well, okay. I mean, and sometimes it was worse than that. All of that. But generally, right, you're getting the calls from the folks that are complaining. Well, it might be, though, that the majority of folks are actually very pleased with the way you're voting and with the way things are going. So I just think, I'm not sure what it is we are wanting. Again, looking through Facebook posts, reading through stories, and I'm wondering what it is that would appease folks that are making these calls. Like, do you really think, and would you be satisfied? Well, John Fetterman has come out, and now he is going to 100% of the time vote against Trump because, by God, he got 23 phone calls last week, and they all said, oh, we don't like Trump, and you better vote against Trump. I don't want my politicians voting like that.
Oh, boy.
Either way, it's the same thing. I mean, I want them voting for my stuff, sure. But, I mean, I don't want people just, well, let's see what kind of phone calls and emails we got today. I got to shift over here. And that seems to be what some of you think, that, yes, by God, I called and I told my politician what I want to happen, and they're not doing it. They're ignoring me. Okay. You do understand, I mean, even I, to some degree, get that the world doesn't revolve around me. Why this is, I can't explain to you. But, I mean, for the rest of you, like, you do understand, right, that the world doesn't revolve around you, and it doesn't matter if you make a phone call and air your... And, again, you... Perfectly fine doing it, all for getting involved in the process, but to expect that people are going to change their mind and they're going to vote the way you want them to because, by God, you called or you wrote an email or a letter to the editor and you let them know what's what. Okay. I think you're being a little unreasonable, but that's just me.
Okay. Where do I start here? First off, we have an open line program tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.
Because
we have Joe Bastardi coming up for our last segment in a little bit. So we got limited time here. We have a very interesting guest one day next week.
Yeah.
Next week. It's a former, now retired congressman from the greater Philadelphia area who is with a group called PA Civics. Because recently it was sort of like Civics Week or Civics Day, and I kicked myself because I thought, I missed that one. That would be a good topic to have a guest, because my thought is most people have no idea how our system of government really works. They don't know.
And they are joined by about 90% of the politicians in that regard.
I don't know about that, okay. But some of what you were just, you know, kind of talking about there fits into, you know, how much do people really know how our system of government works? I think most don't. And then, of course, I'm thinking especially about kids in school who, you know, back in the day we did learn so-called civics. I really wonder how much of that they still teach anymore, all right, because you don't, you know, it's not part of the tests, you know, English and math and science or whatever. It isn't. So we're going to have, I believe, it's either next Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
I think civics were somewhere, I think they were in the top 10 of most reliable vehicles anyway. I don't know why we're going back to that conversation.
Okay, Mr. Honda.
Is that not what we're...
There we go. Oh. So... Again, I've called this the age of disruption because, oh, for goodness sakes, it is. Here's a quick one, okay?
All right.
I do not read Cosmopolitan magazine.
Oh, you're missing out.
Or Cosmo.
You are missing out.
Really? Okay. Cosmo is mainly aimed at women.
What?
So that'd be one reason why I don't read it.
Huh.
It's slightly racy, okay? It is.
Hey, hey now.
And apparently it's politically liberal. So there's a New York Times story. I just saw it. I didn't read the story because I don't subscribe to the Times. I've subscribed to other stuff.
All right.
Apparently, there's now a new conservative Cosmo magazine.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Apparently, it's called Evie. Evie.
So apparently this is a Cosmo-like magazine for conservative women.
Okay.
And I read a quick little blurb. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. Okay. Now, when I've got my spiffy iPhone here, and I always take notes on it, you know, for the show and so on. And I composed this yesterday. I'm going to read what I wrote. And what I wrote is, are we so fractured now that we can't find answers? Are we so politically fractured now that we can't find answers? And I wrote, most of this is from on high, you know, folks at the top, but it filters down to us at the local level. Is that possible? So, for instance, on...
Well, I don't know. Do Democrats think we can find answers? If they think we can, I'd say no. There's no way we can find answers.
Hold
if
it.
If they don't think so, then I think actually we can, Scott.
Hold on.
I think we could.
Hold on, big guy.
Okay.
Hold on, big guy. All right. So, Saturday, I saw the Center Daily Times story, and I knew about this event. I wish I could have attended, but I could not. On Saturday at the State Theater, they had a big, like a town hall type event organized by the Center County Democrat Party committee. And so the room was full, apparently. I saw a picture.
It was full house.
Not standing room only, or at the State Theater, there's like an upper deck. All right, so people were in the upper deck. So
Queens it, over nine.
When so folks are up there, the room is full. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they had speakers on stage. I think they were essentially all Democrats. Apparently, if I read the story correctly, they invited Congressman Glenn Thompson to appear. Now, Mr. Thompson is a Republican. He declined. Apparently, somebody had some life-size cardboard cutout of Mr. Thompson, I guess up on stage, maybe. I'm surprised some people didn't throw Rotten Tomatoes at it. And, of course, now, I understand there are people with frustrations, and this was an opportunity for them to hear other people with frustrations, and so you had a whole massive room full of frustrations. I get it. Okay, I get it. We all have our frustrations right now. The age of disruption. Now, I don't know if that event Saturday really accomplished anything except venting. All right, now granted, sometimes maybe you just need to vent. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. If it's something personal, or if it's politics, or if it's sports.
That's why I'm so appreciative of having this show.
You know, if
it lets me vent.
If the men's hockey team had lost in overtime last night, it would have been a heartbreaker. So imagine fans from Connecticut this morning. They're like, you know, that sort of thing. Vent.
That's what you get for voting or for rooting for UConn. Should have been a Penn State
women's
fan.
Switch it to the women's basketball team for UConn. They're pretty darn good.
Well, yeah.
I'm just wondering. I mean, folks, I got a crazy idea. Crazy. This is totally insane.
You're nuts.
People have said that.
Uh-huh.
How about we have some type of a bipartisan town hall?
What?
Where we get no shouting. In other words, there's rules. No shouting, no groaning, no protests, no signs. Just people in a
we
room.
We just firebomb from one side to the other.
Stop it. No.
Okay.
Just people in a room trying to rationally discuss the top issues facing us today. Organized by both county party committees.
This is an outrage.
Now, this is totally insane. I will volunteer to be the moderator. All right? Because, again, I see some things from the right. I see some things from the left. I'm mostly in the center. If you're a longtime listener, you know how I feel. All right? There are some things about Donald Trump that drive me utterly nuts. Meanwhile, there are some things from the other side that drive me totally nuts. But the idea with a bipartisan town hall is, how about we sit and discuss some key issues? Let's find out where the differences are. No screaming, yelling, none of that, because that doesn't solve anything. Zippo. Let's see if we can actually come up with some answers. Are there any voices of reason out there willing to do this? Now, last year during the election campaign, we had the Center County Republican chairperson on one time.
Yeah.
I did send an invite to the Democrat side. Now, maybe my message went to junk mail. Never heard from them. Folks, we've got to get past this and have conversations and solve problems. I think that's doable, or am I a loon?
Seems like a crazy concept.
I'm a loon.
Seems just out.
Let's take a break for now. We will come right back.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McTominay has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Jolly Roger!
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
It is Let's Talk here on a Monday. Darn nice looking Monday at that. It is, well, what some people would call a boring weather morning. Just the way I like it. Okay. Let's check in with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Good morning. Sorry, I was busy writing something here.
You are just working all of the time. Give yourself a break every now and then.
There's a lot of cold weather coming back next week. There's a lot of severe weather this week across the United States as the clash begins. And so I'm writing something for a blog I write for, CFACT, to get out ahead of it, because I'm sure we'll hear the inevitable cries of global weirding when temperatures go to 20 below normal next week in much of the eastern part of the United States for a couple of days. And I do think we're going to see it snow again here next week. I don't know if it's going to stick yet. There's actually model runs that are showing a sticking snow.
Don't you start with me this morning. I'm in a good mood. I'm enjoying the weather. S-word stuff in April.
Well, no, here's the problem. The problem is I want people to listen not only for sports but for weather, too, and for you guys. And, you know, I'm well aware that the capital of the weather industry is right here in State College, and they're on the air here. So I purposely try to put extra into our forecast. And then I like to listen to theirs to see if they come around to what was being said on the Fox. I love to do stuff like that. So, you know, if I'm going to compete, I'm going to compete on the field that I'm on. I can't compete with you sports experts or you talk show experts, but I can try to compete with the weather and try to get us ahead on the weather. I'm not so sure anybody's listening, but if one person is listening, then they, if next Wednesday, a week from Wednesday or something, they see it snow, they go, yeah, those guys on Fox had that. But
yeah, we appreciate the proper preparation. All right.
Yes, plenty of time.
I got it. Still not happy about it, but I get it.
Well, maybe it won't happen. I mean, it's not like it happens all the time. So, in fact, what I was doing this morning was we had a big stratospheric warming event in March, and I was lining up all these stratospheric warming events that have occurred in March in the last 50 years, and all the Aprils are cold in the United States. So that gets to be very significant for what I do for a living. Since we have agricultural interests, we have energy interests, you know, April is what we call the beginning of the injection season of natural gas, where they're adding to the natural gas reserves. But if you get a couple of weeks where there's too big a draw, it literally takes away 2 or 3 weeks of the injection season. And so that becomes an important aspect of that. The interesting thing about what I do is there are bottom line repercussions. Like lately, I've been on a rant against this National Weather Service probability of temperatures. No one knows what that means. For instance, the period April 4th through 11th, they had a 60% probability of above normal temperatures here. And as it's going to turn out, it'll probably April 4th through 11th will probably turn out 6-7 degrees below normal during that time. But what I was ranting about was, what does that mean, a 60% probability of above normal, when what you're doing is you're saying, well, there's still a 40% chance that it's normal or below, because they divide it into three categories. You have a 1 in 3 chance of normal, 1 in 3 chance of below, 1 in 3 chance of above. So, I mean, forecast the dang temperature. How far is it above normal? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This is the problem that NOAA has, this problem that nobody really knows how good they really are. And so when DOGE gets in there, which they did, and Garrett, my son Garrett and I were talking about this because we want to defend some of the people at NOAA. I'm not defending anything they're doing with climate. They turn into a climate propaganda agency, and they should have stayed away from that because they had so much stuff on that. No one knows what they actually do in other things. Now, when you probability schemes, I call them, are very can be very good guidance, but guidance is not the actual temperature. Now, the actual temperature is a metric you can tell. For instance, I had a winter forecast at State College for a half degree above normal. It wound up being a half degree below normal, December, January, February. So there's a 1 degree error, which it's not that bad. But I mean, I've had worse errors before. But you could tell what I was forecasting. The National Weather Service had a 45% chance of above normal temperatures. And you say, well, that's not too bad, except that a 45% chance of above normal is colored on their scheme above normal because they are comparing it against the 1 in 3 chances. It's lunacy, and it's a standard deviation. The standard deviation, for instance, in Miami is different from the standard deviation in State College. We have bigger swings in the weather over here. Nobody knows what it means. And so the media gets a hold of stuff, and they start putting all this stuff out. And it's really, they've really got to get it so that their communications as to what they're doing and what it means. And the best thing to do is actually forecast the weather instead of avoiding forecasting the weather, because if you actually do forecast the weather, you will find out that you will be wrong a lot of times. And then that adds, well, what the heck are we paying you for if you're wrong, right? Why are we just putting all those taxes in there? So, you know, a lot of this is trying to get out in front. And with that in mind, we'll just see what happens, because the last time I was on, I told you, watch out. There was going to be a real problem in April that we were going to step back. I don't know if we get, you know, one of these crazy things where there's a 4 or 5 inch snowstorm. It's actually the European artificial intelligence model, all right, has been insisting on a snowstorm here early next week for every run I've seen for almost every run for the last 4 or 5 days. So we'll test and see. That's the other thing, too, the artificial intelligence propaganda. I watch these models all the time, and this idea that, oh, this model is, seeing things 15 days away is total gibberish. It may see it. If you have 4 runs a day and 1 run sees it and then 3 runs don't, you don't just go count the run that sees it. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the weather industry and all this. And by the way, I made up a joke this morning. You guys want to hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do go.
What's the difference between COVID and climate change?
COVID.
What's the difference between COVID and climate change? Do you have a
COVID guess? COVID was actually man-made. I think that's a funny thing.
Oh. It's a weather joke.
I'll give you the bell.
You wouldn't believe it happened yesterday. You know, we have a clothesline in our backyard over here, and I had my socks hanging out. Now my neighbor's going over there stealing my socks. I was going to go out there and tell them about it, but I wound up getting cold feet.
I mean, okay.
So what else is going on this morning?
Well, hey, Joe, let me follow up on this.
All right.
Okay, for sort of what you were just talking about. With other things that I've done, and this is not a word, we have an over-datatization. There is so much data out there that some people just feel the need to make up stuff to somehow use data, because apparently it makes them look smart. And my favorite example is ESPN. If you go on the ESPN app, like for any sports game, they have a probability of winning. Have you seen that? Now, when the team wins the game, they had a 100% chance of winning. No kidding. It's an absolutely pointless graph.
Well, it's the same thing. It's never, the probability of precipitation is either 0 or 100. So, I mean, have you ever been riding? You know what I used to like? I used to like the forecast that would come out. Chance of snow tonight. Accumulations of 1 to 2 inches. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't it have to snow to accumulate 1 to 2 inches? So why would it just be a chance of snow, right? It's stuff like that, and it's all a lot of gibberish. I like the old WFIL forecast in Philadelphia. Today sunny, tonight clear, tomorrow snow. Today's high 28. Tonight's low 14. Tomorrow's high 28. Winds at 6, WFIL. They used to have one word for the forecast, and you never know. Okay, sunny today, clear tonight, snow tomorrow. So, they just got right to the point. Of course, back then, weather was only worth 5 seconds for you folks who used to grow up in the Philadelphia area. Now, you know, you got to. Yeah, that's the other thing too. A lot of times, I throw jokes into the forecast because I have nothing else to say. And I always get a kick out of listening to other stations where I know the person that's on is not a meteorologist. So they're striving to somehow or the other fill a 30-second spot with sunny and pleasant today. Sunshine followed by clouds, and the clouds will be followed by some sunshine, but after the sun sets, it'll be dark tonight. I mean, you know, just on and on and on. The master of communications was Elliot Abrams. I mean, that guy was unbelievable. He would make the weather sound like poetry that you wanted to hear. And, you know, he's always accurate. Very rarely was Elliot wrong. So that was great stuff. Now everybody, in an effort to sort of try to follow that, is doing their own thing, and it's very interesting to listen to it all. Of course, I come up with stupid stuff too, but you know.
See, I think if I was doing the weather and we had a cloudy day, for example, I'd be like, and if you look up in the sky today, you'll see a dragon in one of the clouds somewhere between noon and 5 p.m. if you look at the right angle. And that's your weather. And then people would be out there from noon to 5. Oh, wait a second, I see the dragon he was talking about.
Yeah, well, then you get two people be looking. People be looking for the dragon, and they burn their retinas out, and then you know the whole thing would.
Well, you know, sure, there's always unintended consequences, but I mean the fun of it, Joe. The fun of it.
Well, I used to when I was 2-3 years old, I'd go outside, lie on my back, and stare at the sun going into clouds. You know, the cumulus clouds, and my. You know, my dad, mom used to, you know, grab me, and the doctor said, you can't have him do that. He's going to burn his retinas out. I was always fascinated with watching how clouds would develop, or there'd be a lone cloud in one place, and then you'd see it, you know, start to grow and all that stuff. But you can tell how boring it is today. We do have a couple of showers and a thunderstorm that could come through today. And, you know, I don't think we're going to have the hand of God strike parts of the area like we did a couple of Sundays ago. Yeah. With the downburst that occurred. People ask me, was that a tornado? You know, I'm always saying, hey, do you really care if a 100-mile-an-hour wind hits your house? If it was a tornado or a downburst,
yep.
It's still right. So you got to watch out for one of those, but it's not as widespread looking. And then we have a couple of good days coming up. We reload it again with showers and thunderstorms. Middle part of the week, we reload that again on the weekend, and then next week things take a step back. We'll have about a 10 to 15 day period of the weather stepping back. And then hopefully we could break this thing. Although, yeah, I'm getting more and more concerned that May is going to be below normal temperature-wise around here, too.
Oh, so, come on.
Yeah, but, you know, by that time it's warm.
Sorry. No snow in May, at least, right?
Well, you know, we have had snow in May before. And the reason I won the forecast contest, I was in at Penn State in Dr. Myers' class, is for on a 5-day forecast from May 19th, 1976, last day of spring term, I had yes for snow, that it was going to snow. And about noontime, this snow squall came blasting across. It was 45 degrees, temperature dropped to 34. You could go look up at the university. And it was not only just there were these snow pellets and the whole bit. It whitened the ground for around 10 minutes and then left.
Ridiculous.
And, it has happened. That's the latest I've seen it snow here. But May of 66, it was pretty bad across a lot of May 9th and 10th, 1966, was pretty bad. Killed the apple crop around here. Of course, a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, we had that big freeze in May that did a lot of damage to the fruit crops. So we keep an eye out for that stuff, and hopefully we won't have to deal with it this year.
In the meantime, a pretty boring week weather-wise this week, and then stuff is coming.
The weather outside is boring, and your weatherman is
dear
boring.
Dear Mr. Bastardi, what, pray tell, and should we do with this weather?
You're ruining my song. I had this. And since there's nothing we can do about the weather, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got. Bump, bump, bump.
And there you have it. We'll be back tomorrow.
Big finish.